Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, April 10th. A slightly overcast day,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
At least hazy. A little bit foggy, hazy, whatever you want to call it.
I wonder if it's going to burn off and become a sunny day.
It will. It will. That's the way it always is here in L.A.
Yeah.
And it's extremely dry again.
What yeah.
are you gonna do, right? I mean, it's like my skin starts itching all the time, and I hear a lot of people feel the same thing, you know. So I put lotion on. Sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't, but, you know, what can you do?
My skin has been really dry, and I look like an alien.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm hiding it really well right now under oil, but if you touch it, it feels like a cat's tongue.
Oh, really? On your face?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I have an oily face, so I don't have a problem, but like my legs get dry.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I noticed it's also, you know, after you take a shower, because, you know, you remove all the natural oil from your body, so then it gets dry, you know.
So don't shower.
Okay.
Because then we'll save water.
That's true. And will it save soap, too?
Well, yeah, I didn't know something was happening with soap, but yes.
No, well, the soap is what removes that layer, right, of oil on our body, right?
Right.
So it dries everything out, you know.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, short of stopping taking showers, I don't know how I'm going to address that, you know, except with lotion.
Yes. Lotion. Good product.
Yeah. So let's see, weekend coming up. It's an exciting day. I mean, I'm sort of like giving it a reason, giving myself a reason for celebration. We have two new shows today. One of the hosts is here in the studio with us, and we'll get to her in just a moment.
Wow.
And so that's very exciting. I always love new shows and the new people that are added to the family. And you never know, many of them will end up staying for years, you know. So we hope Diana will too. We'll put her on the spot, you know.
Yeah.
We'll make her like us so much that you won't want to leave.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah. Yesterday we talked to Nir Zamir, an author from Israel, and his book, The Killing Rituals, and I kept reading it, and it's an amazing book. If you guys are into espionage, thrillers, things like that, go ahead, pick it up. Great book. One more thing I wanted to mention. I don't know. How you doing, Jen?
I'm doing really well.
Yeah, are you ready for the weekend?
I am. I have a busy awesome. Day ahead of me and then a fun weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you're dressed nice and colorful today.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's cool. So you're feeling like summer now?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I love awesome. Summer.
All right, cool. Oh, and I forgot to mention, if you guys want to listen later on, Mr. Michael Reagan's going to be here, the son of the great Ronald Reagan, whom I feel was the great president, the greatest president of the United States, at least in my lifetime, since the 1960s. Yes, Kennedy was great, but he didn't stay around very long and didn't really do much. And, you know, Nixon, really, we know what happened with him. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but Reagan really pulled us out of the Cold War. The economy got better. He was great, you know. So, I mean, I would have loved to be the one interviewing him, you know, but he's going to be in a different show. And that show is California Connection, so check it today at 4. But and we'll also obviously promote the other new show with Diana here in a couple minutes.
Great.
Yeah. Are you getting ready for your trip to Miami?
I mean, I've got some time.
Did you book your flight yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Good. Did you get a good rate?
Yeah.
A good fare?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because you know what I noticed? Sometimes if you wait to the last minute, you actually get better fares. It's like counterintuitive to the way it used to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think now it's sort of like, you know, with all these websites that you can buy last minute tickets, they try to unload them, you know, the
yeah.
last minute.
Well, I was looking at the fares, and it seemed to be very similar every day I was looking. But they do say if you pay for a ticket on a Tuesday, it's less expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I waited, and then actually on Tuesday, it was not less expensive, but it was not more expensive either.
Good.
I think it was just, I mean, I bought a Virgin America airfare, so it was going to be what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And it's like $159 each way. It's not bad at all.
$159 each way? On Virgin?
Yeah.
And they fly domestically?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's nonstop.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Shows you where I'm at with flights. But $159, that's a steal.
Yeah, and I love Virgin as an airline.
Yeah.
I've probably never had a bad experience with them, so
yeah,
I prefer to fly
how
them.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow, for that kind of money, I would fly for the weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
Heck, you know? Yeah. I love Miami. I've been there a couple times.
Yeah.
One time we were there, I was really young. I think I was 15, and we came here on a trip from Israel with my family. And I kept nagging to my dad, let's rent a speedboat. You know, I really want one. So we rented one, and there's the canals and stuff, you know, and things. So, and they tell you where to go and all that stuff. And I guess I went too close to the shore, and I hit the motor on the ground.
Oh.
Yeah. So so we got stuck there. We had to wait for them to come.
Yeah.
The point is that we had to get to the airport, too, in a few hours. My dad was so pissed at me, I can't even tell you. Totally shot my self-confidence to the ground. But what can I do? You know, I wanted to do it, and I felt I knew what I was doing. But I guess at 15, you don't know what you're doing. You don't listen to all the directions that you're given.
Right. Also, he probably shouldn't have let you get a boat if you're having a flight later that day.
That's true, too. But I guess I was nagging enough, you know.
But he's the parent.
He is the parent, but
you should have looked at him and been like, but you're the parent.
Yeah, but I mean, we probably had plenty of time unless, you know, if we hadn't gotten stuck and stuff, you know. We didn't plan on that. It was planned to be a half an hour outing, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's an expensive outing.
I know.
A half-hour boat rental?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It's nice that your parents would do that for you.
Yeah, I know. That's very cool. But, yeah. So, we'll see. Now, I do you like water sports like jet skis and things like that?
I don't know if I like them or don't like them. I haven't done them in so long. Mm. I don't know if I do them at this age.
Even a boat?
Like I would like, oh yeah, I'd go on a boat. But like, boat. I don't know that I could balance on jet ski. I mean,
but
on
you don't
water
need to
skis.
Balance.
On water skis, you do.
On water skis, yeah.
But
have
on
you
a,
done that before?
Yeah,
oh,
when
really?
I was younger.
Oh, wow.
I got up the first time.
Really?
Yeah, I was really proud of myself.
Wow. Not bad.
Like Key West or something. But yeah, I love boats. I grew up with boats. My family always had boats.
That's true in Miami, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of people have boats. Oh, so you grew up with them. How cool.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Well, did you guys live on the water or something?
A couple of houses were on the water. And then the other houses we had were close enough to the water where, like, we lived in a gated community where you could have a boat at a dock in the community.
I see. Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Miami because they have bridges and lots of water and ships.
Me
and
too.
Stuff,
I miss the causeways. Like, driving over the causeways was so relaxing.
Yeah, I know.
Even in traffic, it didn't matter just because you could see the water right there.
I know. You're surrounded by water.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. Here, we don't really have that.
No.
The closest we have is San Pedro, where the ships are. And there's a couple bridges and some water around you, but that's about it.
I've never even been there.
No, huh?
No. Yeah. But I am excited to go to Miami. I'm going to probably eat a lot of good food, sit in the sun, see family.
Yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah. And it's almost summer, so... You know,
I mean, when I go, it's great. May, so
yeah,
that'll be hot.
That'll be great. And how long are you going for?
Thursday to Tuesday.
Nice.
Thursday morning, because I'm taking the red eye Wednesday night, and then I leave Tuesday night. So, like, 6 full days, I think.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
And we're going to miss you, but your friend Lauren is going to be here.
Yes.
Which is exciting. So we'll try to shock her with some things.
Yeah.
See how much she can handle.
She's going to have fun.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So thanks for arranging that.
No
I appreciate
problem.
It. Otherwise, I'd have to take a long vacation.
I mean, that would have been a good time for you to go
it
on
is.
A vacation because
it is,
you
know,
need one.
I know. Well, maybe we'll go. We'll see. Yeah, it is a good time because I don't like going in the summer when everybody else is going.
Right.
You know. So, and if I don't go now, then I have to wait till after the summer. So you're right. Maybe it is a good idea. But then Lauren won't get a chance. So
she'll be around. She can come anytime.
Yeah. Huh? Okay, I'll think about that. Now I have to figure out where I'm going, you know, and if somebody's available to go with me. If I have to go alone, then it's not going to be a place like Hawaii or something, you know, where everybody's making love around you and stuff. You know? I'll have to go like touring and sightseeing and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see what happens. Anyway, so that's that for now. Let's go ahead and bring in our guest now. We have a very special guest. I find you extremely personable and nice and warm and great vibe. Diana Dean, welcome to the show, Diana.
Thanks, Sam. I am so happy to be here.
Yes, thank you.
And Jen.
And you're a new listener of the show as well.
I am.
Which we're very flattered.
Yes, one more listener.
Yeah, there you go, you know, and especially, and yeah, I mean, I like nice listeners, you know. I mean, I don't know our listeners, but you seem nice, and so we welcome you to the show, and it must be feel cool, huh, to listen to it one day and then to be in the studio with us another.
I can't.
Because we're very cool, you know. I mean, you definitely want to be around us.
Absolutely. I don't want to be anywhere else. I got to tell you, though, it's so much fun to listen to your show. I learn something from it every time I listen.
Really?
Well, thank you. And I'm one of thousands or even millions, I bet.
Wow. I don't know about millions, but there are quite a bit people out there, yeah.
I'm glad that people can learn from us, at least.
Yeah.
We're not doing this for nothing.
No, absolutely. You know, and I mean, if I do say so myself, we're pretty smart, you know. I mean, Jen is like Pepper. I mean, she's like, she doesn't let anybody get away with anything, you know, and she knows what she's talking about.
Thanks.
Yeah, and I like that. You know, it energizes me, you know.
Absolutely. Well, today I learned I'm buying my airline tickets on Tuesdays.
There you
and
go.
Then,
you,
you know, Sam, you might want to think about an eco-vacation.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll talk about eco-vacations and everything. So, Diana, you're starting a new show today at 12 on Channel 2. And it's a mouthful, the name of it. Go ahead and tell us what the name of it is.
Well, the name of the show is Sustainability News and Entertainment. It's sort of the bread and circus of how do we bring news that's, you know, what people are doing to create sustainable solutions for the planet, and then how do we make it sexy through entertainment. Mm. So it's a lot of fun.
Wow,
you know,
sounds cool.
You can call it S&E Today if you like.
Yeah. S&E Today. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we should call it that because it's kind of long.
Yeah.
Sustainability. I mean, just that word makes me break my teeth.
I know. It scares the crap out of everybody, doesn't it?
I feel like most people don't know what it means.
Yeah.
Like what it, I mean, it means to sustain, but like,
yeah, so
is something able to sustain?
Yeah. So what do you, what do you mean by including that in the title of the show?
Well, you know what? I've been thinking about it for a long time. I've been in the business of sustainability for a long time, like the environmental world for a long, long time. Too many years to mention, actually.
Oh, so it's connected with environment.
It is.
Okay.
It's all up. There's three things. Okay. This, and it makes it really easy. The first thing is, how do we make money at designing and building new products and lowering our footprint at the same time? So I always think about the financial aspect first. And then the second thing is, how do we get people excited about doing something good for the planet? It could be creating a new product that's 100% sustainable, meaning biodegradable or compostable or recyclable. So it's giving people the opportunity to actually go, wait a minute now, I can create something that's sustainable and consumers will buy it.
Yeah.
And then the last piece is, you know, how do we lower our footprint? Because we've got so many moving parts right now between pollution and energy needs. And state of California, we have no water.
No water.
Right?
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about no water
yesterday. Yeah, we talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's a concern.
It's a huge concern.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think that has to do with like global warming? Do you feel it has to do with us having created that situation?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. The science is in. You know, you look at the MITs, the Caltechs, the, you know, NOAAs, the all the science-based research. They've been doing this for, you know, 50 years, and they've seen it, you know, they see it coming. There's a lot of people, you know, like Florida and Wisconsin these days where you're not allowed to use the climate change word, which is, I find very interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I absolutely believe that the human factor has played a big role in this, and we have this giant, incredible opportunity to create new businesses around, you know, sustainability, which means, you know, we're seeing a lot of energy companies, renewable energy companies, popping up. We're seeing a lot of, you know, old not old, I don't want to call them old, but oil tycoons now turning towards renewable energy. Yeah, you know, my good friend, Chip Cummins, he's the founder of the RDA Summit, and he's got, you know, the Ted Turners of the world and the T. Boone Pickens of the world all really zooming in and focusing on renewable energy, whether it's wind or solar or geothermal. Oh. Type energy.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. So so when you say renewable energy, you mean wind and solar and so forth, water probably, right?
Exactly.
Like in dams. And
yeah, how do we harvest the sun? How do we harvest water?
Right. And that, you know, and that makes sense because, you know, and not only as far as climate, but economically also, it's not in our advantage to depend so much on oil and on, you know, on those countries that, I mean, you see, they can control what they do with the prices of energy and stuff. And that, you know, that's just not, I mean, they can hold the world economy hostage just with their oil, you know. And, you know, some of these countries like Saudi Arabia and stuff, they're rich just because they happen to sit on oil, you know.
Right.
But it's not like we really want them to export their culture to us or anything, you know. So
it was really interesting, Sam. About 2 years ago, I interviewed the Brigadier General of the United States Marine Corps. And basically what he said is, you know, we can do so many things on the front lines, you know, with the military. We can also do so many things at home that have been tested through the military, like solar, for example.
Right.
And once people start to understand that you can make money at it and you can save money at it, there's a real opportunity.
Right.
You know, if we just paint the rooftops of giant buildings white, you're conserving probably about 20% of your energy use per
year. That's true, huh?
Yeah.
Why don't they do that?
Well, you know, that's, Jen, great question. You know, it's I think it has to do with education. You know, if we let people know and awareness, there's even solar paints out there right now that you could put on these rooftop units and then be able to take the energy.
Right. So it deflects the heat and stuff, and
exactly.
You don't need as much air conditioning.
Are there like consultants though that like a company can hire that comes out and like redoes their whole building and says like, you can save here, you can do these light bulbs, you can do this water, you can do this filter, you can do paint?
Absolutely. There's an organization called the USGBC. It's the Green Building Council. And they're across America. They're spreading their wings all around the world right now. And they're a consulting organization, but they're also, if you go to their website, USGBC, I think it's .com or org, I'm not positive, but you go there and it gives you these tips on how to do it. So if you don't want to pay a consultant to do anything, you can just go there and go, okay, wait a minute now. You know, I can do this on my own,
right.
And I can pull in, you know, whether it's my home or it's you're renting someplace.
Yeah. I tried to get like the new light bulbs that they sell.
Yeah.
But I bought like 60 watt light bulbs thinking they were 60 watt light bulbs, but they showed up and I put one in and I was like, okay, I'm still in the dark basically. Like apparently you need a higher wattage to equal a normal 60.
Oh.
A 60 equals like a 30.
Wow.
So you have to like read the fine print, but you can get there if you like educate yourself, I think. I just bought the wrong ones for what I needed.
Well, you may not have. I mean, technology is moving so fast right now that it's pretty exciting because you can buy have you seen the I think it's a 6-year-old light bulb you can buy, and it's much higher, a brighter light. But there's different types of LEDs that you can buy.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. I mean, good for you to try and get out there and say, wait a minute, I want to do this, right? That's
just
one step towards making a difference.
That's true. And, you know, I mean, and we have this energy that costs nothing, you know. We're talking about solar energy. And I know, I remember from since I was born, in Israel, they've had, like, solar panels on the roofs, you know, for hot water. And, you know, take advantage of the sun. And they've been doing that for decades there. And we don't seem to do a lot of it here, you know. And but because it costs a little bit, but at the same time, it saves you a lot of money down the road, you know. My brother put a pool in his house and decided to heat it with solar panels. And so it cost him about maybe $5,000-$6,000 to put in. But now he doesn't have to pay to heat the pool.
Exactly. You exactly. Know? It was funny. I was listening to Bobby Kennedy speak at one of the gatherings in L.A. And he got up there. He goes, you put it in there, you pay for it. And then once it's up there, it's free.
It's free.
And we forget about that.
Right.
Right? It's free.
Right.
So now we're starting to see, you know, solar on in some very unique areas. Like one of the things I get really excited about, Jen, you talked about boats earlier. And, you know, you're both talking about that. You know, I was joking with the Navy. They have a green fleet out there. I'm like, you guys, are your decks solar yet? And he started laughing. He's like, no, but I think they should be.
Yeah.
And it turned into this really interesting conversation about where we could actually put solar. You know, on the front lines of the military, they replaced the big heavy batteries that soldiers would have to carry with solar, which was probably about, you know, 30 pounds off their backs.
Yeah.
And then they started looking at water harvesting. So how do you not have to carry these big jugs of water to stay alive,
right?
How do you harvest the water? Whether, you know, there's all different ways of doing it with, between capture or between, you know, having a water purifying system on you,
right?
That makes it available. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, it really is. So tell us what it is that you do, like, on a daily basis. How are you involved with this stuff? What is, like, your career? What is it that you do? Does it involve this?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Jan, getting back to what you said, I'm a consultant. And that's one part. That's the bread and butter. And I work with big companies like Hewlett-Packard and some of the early adopters with regard to sustainability. And they're looking at how do we design our products more sustainable. So for a period of time, I was being thrown in their labs, which was really fun and crazy at the same time. It was, you know, in there with you know, Harvard and Caltech and MIT and
people,
Stanford.
Huh?
I'm like, what am I doing here? Pinch me, you know? But it's really interesting to watch these big corporations. You know, when a lot of people think that corporations aren't trying to do much, in there trying to say, how do we make a recyclable product? Or how do we make a compostable product? Or how do we make a biodegradable product? Yeah. So that there's a closed loop.
So they realize it's good for business to actually be conscious of the environment.
You know what, Sam? You couldn't have said it better. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Well, that's good, you know, because I think they need to take some responsibility for all this pollution and all this stuff that they have done over the years, you know, not specifically those companies that you mentioned, but industry in general.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's their responsibility.
But getting at what you said that's so important is if they start to realize and harness the opportunity, because we as consumers end up wanting to buy more sustainable products. You know, somebody said the other day to me, so what are the things we can do besides turning the water off when we brush our teeth or, you know, buying the right light bulb? I'm like, start looking at the products you're buying, because there's such an opportunity to push back on manufacturers with our,
That's
you know,
true.
Our pocketbooks.
That's true.
Kind of thing. You know, if we buy sustainably, you know, like recycled products or compostable products or biodegradable products, that pushes the market.
That's
right?
True, yeah. And, you know, I mean, I always feel like, what am I doing this for? It's not going to make a difference. But I think if each one does a little bit, you know, it's going to make a big difference. So I think it's a state of mind more than everything. I think you need to be in that state of mind to, like you said, to question the product you buy. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to buy this computer. Let's see how they manufactured it or something, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Sam.
You know,
the other thing that I find fascinating, and Jen, you might like this, the fashion industry is taking giant steps towards using recycled materials and, you know, biodegradable materials and compostable materials to make clothing now. And then they're repurposing these clothing, like, for example, jeans. That's becoming insulation for buildings, for example.
Wow. That is really cool.
Yeah.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
I have a dress made out of plastic bottles. And it's not like what you would think.
Yeah. Not like a Lady Gaga type of a dress, right?
We're going to get Lady Gaga in a plastic, you know, recycled dress, along with a lot of other people on the red carpet.
Yeah, she would wear one with bottles, you know? Made of bottles.
Yeah. They're actually really soft, and you would never know that it was plastic bottles.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hurley's making board shorts out of plastic bottles, recycled plastic bottles, and they're pretty hot.
What?
See, like, that's cool. Like, I mean, I guess for, like, my generation. But if you told my mom that, she'd be like, is it made out of garbage? Am I going to be wearing garbage? Like, how is it recycled and put back together? Like, we have, like, a landfill in Miami that's known as Mount Trashmore. And they say that, it, you know, that you can recycle trash and you can repurpose it or whatever. But like when you look at that, you're like, I don't want that near me. So I think, I mean, is there education that's being done for like an older generation that they understand what that even means? That it's not, you're not wearing trash, you're not eating trash, you're not using trash. Like, I mean, you are, but it's in a different form now.
Right. Oh my gosh, Jen, you are hitting on one of the biggest points right now out there. And people start to think about, you know, a lot of these landfills are, you know, they're filling up and there is no more away. So what a lot of people are doing is tapping into these landfills because there's resources in there and there's materials in there that they can reuse and make money at.
Right.
You know, like the methane gas alone is huge opportunity for energy. So it's, we're looking at all these moving parts, but I do want to invite you to something.
Oh.
All right. It has to do with trash. It has to do with talking trash. It's a crazy idea that... that I came up with about 4 years ago. I was interviewing MIT on the radio, and we were talking about they have this climate simulator tool, and it sounds like a big scary thing, but really what it is anywhere in the U.S. or anywhere in the world, wherever you are, you can plug in your, you know, logistics of where you are and understand how climate impact will affect you. So if it's your business or whatever, today, tomorrow, 100 years out. So in the middle of the show, Drew Jones was so excited from MIT, I stopped the show, and I'm like, why are you so excited? What is your passion behind this? He goes, I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I got to think about that. And you know how hard it is just to be quiet and let somebody think on the show because you don't want a dead space?
Yeah.
Well, I bit my tongue. Next thing you know, he comes out and he goes, well, I went to Dartmouth College before I went to MIT. And a bunch of buddies and I, radical, you know, college students, came out and said, let's figure out what our own impact is on the planet. So they decided to go around with the trash for a whole week. Wow. And I was laughing, you know, who would want to do that? Just like you said, John. And I said, well, that sounds like an idea that needs to be recycled. And he starts laughing. He goes, you'll do that? I'm going, heck yeah. I mean, we have dumpster dived before, which I'll tell you about that another time. But we ended up starting this thing called the Trash on Your Back 5-Day Challenge. And that was, you know, the first year it happened, there was, you know, I called all my best, you know, buddies, the greenest people on the planet, I thought, and called them up and like, you guys, we carry your trash on your back. It was US EPA. It was the green schools across America. It was Major League Sports. And they're all, you know, really, Di, you're going to ask us to do that? And I said, yeah. So today, after 4 years, the NFL's done it. You know, the Seattle Mariners have done it. The Green Schools Across America have done it, are in process of doing it. My best friend was ready to kill me. She's a incredible restaurant entrepreneur. And she's like, no. I said, yes. Sure enough, what we learned over this period of time is that, you know, A, trash is pretty sexy because you can really learn a lot about trash from a person. You know, I didn't know this. And then B, we uncovered that the average person generates 4.4 pounds of trash per day, right? Uh-huh. And so in a period of 5 days, we were able to knock that down by 82%, right? So we got down to 0.8 pounds of trash for a week. And that was our all-time, you know, lightweight title list. But what we also learned was, we're like, okay, so if that's the case, the University of New Hampshire did all the metrics, and they came back and they said, well, if we're able to knock it down that far, what's the U.S. spend per year in trash management? You know, like waste management, hauling, and what we think we put on the curb and goes away. It really doesn't go away. It's $12 billion a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we went, okay, wait a minute. If we can knock that down by 82%, why don't we just take 50%? So there we uncovered a $6 billion opportunity for the nation.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All about trash. So I really would love it. You know, Earth Day week, we're going to be carrying our trash on our backs for a week.
That's soon, isn't it?
It is. It's the Earth Day is the 22nd, but you guys are looking at me like there's no way in the world you're going to do this.
Why? No, why not?
I mean,
you'll meet some great Major League Sports team people, and you'll meet some Green Schools people, and you'll meet US EPA, and you'll meet...
I mean, I'll do it. Is there a bag? Like, what do you put it in?
I will bring you you a bag.
Okay. All right. I'm in.
Yay. Jen, thank you.
Of course. I mean, I also don't think I generate that much trash, so that's why.
You know what? And it's interesting because a lot of people get scared that they do generate too much trash. But when you do it, you're thinking about it.
Right.
Right?
Well, the thing is, I also live in my own apartment, so I know everything that's in the trash is mine. Right. And I have one kitchen trash can and one bathroom, and they're never full. And I get my house cleaned probably once a month, and she takes out the garbage. Wow. So
you don't generate a lot of
trash. No. So I'm happy to do this. And
yeah, that's good.
I'm a lightweight.
Thank you. Are you challenging us right now?
Yeah, she is maybe challenging us.
Are you challenging?
Yeah. Let's see what you guys produce.
Yeah, I have a lot of garbage, actually. I don't know, because I buy things in packages, I guess.
Right.
You
know?
That's the biggest thing.
I know. But, you know, I think also, like, being aware of the environment, I think people actually do take action when we make it sexy for them. Like, look at
that. And easy.
Yeah.
Sexy and easy.
Like, look at the Teslas, the car.
Right.
You know, the new Teslas. I mean, they're selling like hotcakes. And before, nobody could give away electric cars, you know. And now everybody wants one.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I mean, make it like, give people a reason.
Right. It's such a good point, Sam. But that's if we can start buying the electric cars,
right?
Whether it's the Tesla, you know, I was driving up here today and looking, going, oh, there goes my car. And I recently found out 2 days ago that I grew up in Volkswagen buses and Volkswagen bugs. Uh-huh. And that you could put an electric car in an old Volkswagen bus now. I mean, electric engine, sorry. Yeah, in an old Volkswagen bus. I'm like, that's cool.
Really? That's really
so
cool.
I want to be able to have that option, you know, to choose an electric engine versus a gasoline engine.
Right.
And then also, like, I mean, I think I don't want a Prius. I think they look like spaceships, you know? But, like, then if you want that kind of car that, like, does that kind of thing, you have to get one of the three that are out there. So Or they cost so much money, but I guess they cost a lot of money and then you save in the gas.
Right.
Very true.
And you get some tax credit from the government.
I have a girlfriend that got a Fiat, an electric Fiat, and the government gave her back like $3,500.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's where it's at. You know, it's interesting. Talking about making it sexy, last weekend I went to the Formula E. It's like the Formula One, but it's electric cars. Talk about sexy. It was cool.
Really?
It was in Long Beach.
It was all electric cars?
All electric cars.
Wow. So that would have been a good thing to Periscope.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? You're right. Darn it. Leonardo DiCaprio was there. You know, all these people, like when you mentioned Virgin.
Yeah.
They're investing in the e-cars as well. And in walking around, BMW has come out with some really cool. Have you seen the smaller?
The i3. One they did the commercial during the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool. It's a very cool car.
It looks like a spaceship. Like, it does.
It does.
It's very futuristic, but I mean, we're also living in that time now, so we have to catch up.
Exactly, and that's why they do it. You know, they want you to associate future with electric cars, and you know, and but you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I would never buy a Prius, but I would buy a Tesla. So you know, I mean, the question is, you got to make give people a reason.
Yeah,
to do this.
Absolutely.
You know, because people are like lazy, you know. I mean, look at us here. We know that we could save a lot of the environment, lower pollution and everything if we rode in carpools. But nobody here does, you know. I mean, you know, I often watch the freeway and the traffic. And you realize every car has only one person in it. And, you know, because it's sexier to drive your own car.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. But if they made it cool to take public transportation or something, or to carpool or something, give people an incentive, then they would do it.
Absolutely, Sam. Well, it's interesting. Google's doing some pretty funky things. They're doing their own Google transportation buses.
Oh, really?
So you think about, you know, next generation, like you mentioned, Jen. It's like it's hot to get on that bus.
Yeah.
And get on that bus.
Yeah.
And it's fun, though, too, because they're all like-minded. And it's interesting. The next generation gets it.
Yeah.
Seriously, within the next 10 years, just the next 5 years is going to be amazing. Every year I volunteer for the Green Schools National Network conference, and this year was pretty interesting. I decided they do a kids summit, and they're sixth graders, fifth, sixth, and seventh graders. These sixth graders they get it. You know, I said to him, we did a mock radio show, and the kids were scared to death. I'm like, you guys, it's not about us, it's about the message.
Right?
And all of us, when we get scared going on radio, it's like, all right, it's not about me, it's about the message. So these kids, all of a sudden you say that, they come running up, and I'm like, all right, what's your solution for the planet? What's your question for the planet? One little sixth grader came up and said, well, Di, I think the solution for food security across the nation is aquaponics. And do you know how many people don't even know what aquaponics is, but this kid knew?
Wow.
I don't. Tell us.
It's basically growing plants in water. And a lot of times, they're a quick grow. And then you can also use fish what it is these great big vats. And you plant these I'm not doing a very good job of this, am I?
It's okay, we get it.
Look it up, right? No. No, it's basically growing food in water, but then also making it self-sustaining. So the food is fed through fish, through when they grow with the fish, and then basically the fish is feeding off of the waste of the plants are growing off the
waste of
the fish. Okay. Thank you. My gosh.
It's okay. It's early still.
Easy for me to spit that out, huh? Gosh.
Well, it's kind of complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking to Diana Deem, for those of you just joining us. She has a new show that starts today at noon right here on LA Talk Radio. That's noon Pacific. So if you're somewhere else, do the math. And the show is Sustainability News and Entertainment Radio. And this conversation is fascinating, you know. So you're an environmental consultant, right, pretty much?
Started
is that what
that.
You would call
yep.
it? Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Very cool. Now, I know that, to do solar-powered cars, that's kind of a challenge because you need, like, a big, not space, but what am I trying to say? You need like a lot of like a wide space. Like when I saw like solar cars, they're like really big and wide, because you need to be able to capture a lot of the sun's
mm-hmm,
rays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you need a lot of panels on there, and that's why it's not that feasible yet. But I think it's going to get there, you know?
Well, if you think about innovation and where right. people are headed with innovation and how, you know, remember the cell phone? Or remember the phone, the very first cell phone?
Yeah.
Remember how big that thing was?
Yes, I remember.
The Zach right? Morris phone.
Yeah. The Zach Morris phone. Yeah. But if you look at it today, you know, we've got this small, you know, handheld device. So if you think about, I think where solar's headed is it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller and quicker right. and quicker and quicker.
Yeah.
So... You know, stay tuned. They're working on a lot of nanotechnology with regard to solar. They're doing some really interesting stuff right here in California.
Yeah. I mean, even our, like, parking meters are, like, solar powered now, mm-hmm. which is really cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What were they before?
They were mechanical.
They were
mechanical.
Remember, you had to put your change in and turn the thing.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yes.
Now you can put your credit card in using, you know, the
right,
solar
exactly.
panel on there, and it automatically.
Right, yes.
Yeah, and you can adjust how long and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. So, yeah, so I guess people are taking steps. And, who knows? But we really have to be concerned with the future, I think, because we're leaving this for our kids, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we have to take a certain amount of responsibility, I think, to give them a place where an environment where they can grow in a healthy manner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know? Yeah.
You know, I have to thank you both, too, just for, you know, including Sam, the Sustainability News and Entertainment Radio on LA Talk Radio. If you look around, we're starting to see bits and pieces of people talking about what we can do, you know, to
yeah.
solution and innovate sustainably around the world.
Right.
And there's not a whole lot out there.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest things hitting on what you said about kids as well and our next generation, it's like, how do we teach them to get excited about, you know, being in entertainment, but then also talking about sustainability?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a real opportunity, I think, for education to take a lead in this, and that's one of my passions. You know, how do we get people talking about this? I was on a panel at the R Day Summit I mentioned earlier last August, and I highly recommend people attending that. We were on stage with the Weather Channel. They asked me to to host this particular panel. And it was the Weather Channel, it was CNN International, Origin Magazine, which is a really cool magazine. A good friend of mine developed it out of nothing. And then we also had ABC News on there. And we were all talking about why it's so hard to talk about, you know, sustainability on the radio and what makes it sexy, what doesn't make it sexy.
Right.
And how do we shift from the technical thinking of, oh, that's the environment, into, wait a minute, this is life. So I want to ask you guys why you think it's important to share this kind of information, you know, live on the radio and on TV.
Yeah.
Oh,
is that like a trick question?
No. I think it's an obvious question so that people find out about it and do something because you reach the masses.
Right.
Yeah.
Versus, and you know what? I'm going to start being a little more aware, you know? Like when I go and I buy my my coffee at Nespresso, right? And it comes in capsules. They ask me for a recycling bag. I'm like, no, I just... But yeah, why not? You know, why not make the little extra effort of recycling things?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they already... Like, I like that they change the bag situation at a grocery store. However, I think they should also change the receipt situation. Because if they give you a receipt, but then they ask you if you want a bag or not, and you have to pay for that bag, why are you giving me a piece of paper?
Yeah.
Like, that I'm going to just throw somewhere. Right. Like, now I can litter. Thank you. But I'm going to hold my groceries, but I'm going to litter that receipt.
So like, what would be the alternative, though?
You email a receipt like they offer in other stores. But the grocery store, for whatever reason, is way behind the times on that, yet they're not giving you a bag.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want a grocery receipt in my email. I mean, come on, that's a little stretch.
Or get a receipt.
Who needs a receipt?
You have a bank statement. I mean, when I go to my account,
when you have to,
I barely bear
when you have
anything,
to return so. Things, they need you need it. You know, I mean, look, I can. You know, I think receipts are probably, you know, should stay for a while. But there's a lot of things we don't really need, you know, and that are still on paper.
You know what's funny with receipts, and I'm so glad you brought that up, Jen, because it's one of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
It's so bad. You go to check out, and you've got this mile-long receipt, yeah. Right?
With all
it's
the like, coupons
all
on
the
it
coupons.
And stuff, too. It's like,
but see, that's a marketing. That's a way they're marketing, so right. They have to give it to you. Just like mail.
Right.
You know, when you go to the post office or whatever to pick, I have a P.O. box, so I go there and I pick up my mail, and more than half of it is... You know,
yeah, trash.
I don't need
junk
it.
Stuff.
Right.
It's junk stuff.
Right.
So what
How
I've
do you
been
get rid
doing.
Of those?
Well yeah. Here's the message, all right? It's a behavioral thing. So next time we get a receipt, what I do, and my friends want to kill me half the time in doing this, and a lot of them are listening right now, it's probably going, oh no, here she goes. I'll look at people and say, no, I don't need the receipt. And they take it and they go to throw it away. Instead of saying, I don't need the receipt anymore, I said, no, that's your trash.
Yeah.
And people look at you like, what?
Huh?
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, and to get it what you're saying, Jen. It's if we just start saying, you know what, you're paying for the trash associated with that and the tipping fees. Think about how much money you can save in these stores,
right?
By not having a receipt.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
I think if there was like a rule, like the bag rule, that they had to then do. If there was a receipt rule,
right?
People follow that, or they get fined.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're starting the receipt. Rule right now.
Right
no
now.
No more receipts. Yeah.
I know. Jen's pet peeve, you know.
Exactly.
Well, only because, well, A, I don't need it, but also it fills up my purses or it ends up somewhere else in the garbage or like it lives at the bottom of the 10 cent bag I had to pay for. So, yeah. Like, it's just unnecessary.
Right. No, it's true. And you know what? Some places actually ask you if you want your receipt. You know, so just if you say no, but they say it after they print it, you know.
Right. Like the trash is created. They've already printed it.
It's already done. Too late.
Right. In a world that's so digital, I just think that they, like, if grocery stores do iPads for everything like they do at other stores, fine. Maybe have less registers. Figure out a way to make it faster. Streamline your system. I don't care. Get to it.
Yeah.
See what you're doing right now, Jen? This is all about solutions for the planet. And it's simple ways that we can save money.
Right.
Right?
No,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, look at Macy's. You go to Macy's now, and there, would you want an electronic receipt? I'm like, yeah. And yeah, it does fill up your email, but you got it in case you got to take it back.
Yeah,
later.
No, I mean, email is fine. You know,
and
who
you
cares?
Can file it easily there and then not have a file box.
Right.
Or whatever, more garbage. But I think in terms of like thinking about solutions for the planet, until you're forced to think, you ignore it. And I think there's a lot of like, you know, ignorance is bliss that happens, what we were talking about before we started the show. Like, if there was no drought in California, would we think about water?
Right.
That's true.
Would the general population think about water? You would, because that's your job. But, like,
right.
Would we be even talking about it?
Yeah.
Probably
you see,
not.
You see, I Well, we wouldn't be talking about it. I do think about water all the time, even when there's no shortage. I don't know why. I just, because to me it seems like we have to use so much water, and it requires like so much precipitation for us to get that water, you know. So even before the drought, it still occurs to me that water is really precious, you know. And why waste the water if you don't have to?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're talking to Diana Deeman. In the last few minutes, we didn't even get to talk about you. Are you originally from Southern California?
Oh, you're going to laugh. I was born in Oxnard.
Really?
And I'm the oldest of five adopted kids.
Wow.
My parents were crazy.
Yeah.
And God bless my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And we lived in Thousand Oaks until I was 15. My dad was actually... He started the Park and Recreation Association for Caneo Valley, and he threw down this you know how there's so much, you know, sprawl going on throughout the state of California. He went and said back, you know, way back then, I won't tell you when, but way back when, he said, you know, 60-40, you know, build on 40 and keep the rest open space.
Yeah.
And it's been kept that way ever since, which is hard to imagine.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, and then I moved to Boston when we were 15. We like jumped in a Volkswagen bus, five kids, two cats, and a dog.
Wow.
It was worse than...
Why did you guys move? Did he get a job or something?
Yeah, he worked with RCA before it became GE, and we went to the East Coast and froze and and hated it in the beginning and learned to love it, and then I just moved back 10 years ago.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Is your family still in Boston?
They are. They are. I miss it. Just like, is your family still in Miami?
Yes, and I actually do have family in Boston, too.
You do?
My mom's side is in Boston.
Where?
She was born in Swampscott.
Yep.
I think we still have family there, and then there's people in Wellesley, Marblehead, somewhere else. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. See, I spent a lot of time in Marblehead, and I lived in Newburyport for a long time.
Yeah.
We have an old family house in Hampton, New Hampshire. I mean, you go back east, and all of a sudden, it's like five states. You can go through five states in a day.
Yeah.
Because everything's so cool.
And what's interesting is Marblehead is not a big place, right? You know how many times I've heard of it? I mean, one of my co-hosts was from there, and then it always comes up. And I'm like, how can a small place come up all the time, you know? But it must be pretty nice, right? I mean,
maybe that's your next vacation.
Maybe
it's
huh?
beautiful.
Really?
It's gorgeous. Right on the water. It's
yeah.
it's on, you know, rock and there's wonderful restaurants there, and they're actually doing a lot with regard to sustainability there too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, Diana, we're just about out of time. Why don't you go ahead and promote your website, the show, and everything else so people can know where to find you.
Thank you, Sam. Well, the show is called Sustainability News and Entertainment Radio, and you can find it at snetoday.com. Today at noon, we have an Academy Award winner, director, and producer joining us, Louis Sohoyas, and he did The Cove, and he's just about to release Racing Extinction. You're going to see a lot of Teslas in this film.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And some really interesting, life-threatening, I mean, this guy's amazing. And then my good friend Chip Cummins from the R-Day Summit will be joining us. He also is the founder of AREI. So that happens today at noon. Please,
yeah,
I hope you can join us.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you can't, of course, you can download the archives at any time on our website. And and your website is snetoday.com. And Diana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having
You're very
me. I'm
interesting.
So excited to be part of the LA Talk Radio family.
Awesome.
Thanks,
well,
thanks Jim.
Yeah. And much success with what you do. You know, I mean, we need more people like you, you know, to save our planet once and for all. You know, I mean, we just, it seems like everybody's doing their own thing and there's no coordination as far as to what we really should do. They have all these global warming conferences and world climate, but all in all, we seem to be continuing to do badly, you know, when it comes to the environment. So I don't know. But at least there's some consciousness of it, and that's an important thing, you know.
Yeah. I think if we take the route of solutions for the planet instead of, you know, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, but yeah, we do have to move fast, I think we're onto something.
Yeah. It's true. All right. Well, everybody, thank you all for joining us. Diana, thank you. Much success with your new show as well.
Thank you so much,
and
Sam.
You'll have to come back and update us on your progress and everything.
I'd love to.
All right. Awesome. And Jen, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. And we'll see you all on Monday.
listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.